Good morning. Today's reading comes from John 17, verses 20 through 26. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be all in one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Bless the reading.
Cleveland Indians pitcher Bob Feller and Minnesota Twins outfielder David Spann have something in common. These two players from different eras in Major League Baseball both hit foul balls and hit their mothers with the ball when they were in the stands. Actually happened. One had a collarbone broken. And when I was at a Little League game, I think one of my brothers was playing and watching the game. My grandmother was sitting at the right field line in a chair right where the post is. She wasn't looking. Someone hit a line drive, hit her in the head, knocked her out of her chair. Sometimes things happen. But fortunately, all those mothers and grandmothers made full recoveries. So we honor our mothers today. Mothers make sacrifices, and we are so very thankful for everything that you do for us. As someone has said, the hand that rocks the cradle usually is attached to someone who's not getting enough sleep. It's not easy being a mom. Even if your son doesn't hit you with a foul ball, maybe you can relate to one mom who wrote into Reader's Digest. She says it had been just a horrible, terrible morning, and she was all stressed out. Her three kids were just driving her crazy, and she couldn't take it anymore. So she went into a closet, and she just screamed bloody murder. And she said, I just felt so much better just doing that and getting out. And when I walked out of the closet, there were my three children standing there with this wild look on their face. And the little five-year-old boy said, Mom, I told you there was a monster in that closet. I bet those three kids stayed away from that closet till they were grown. Being a mom is not easy. It's, I think, the most important and most difficult job in the world. It is our moms, and with helps from dads, of course, to whom God entrusts our care until we're able to make it on our own. Our lesson for today comes from the Gospel of John. The setting is Maundy Thursday, and after the symbolic washing of the disciples' feet, Jesus prays what has come to be known as the High Priestly Prayer. This is a rather lengthy prayer in which Jesus first prays for himself, then he prays for his disciples. The final portion of his prayer begins with this verse. He prays for the future of believers. Listen again to this portion of Jesus' rather lengthy prayer. My prayer is not for them alone. And he is referring to his disciples and apostles while he was upon this earth. So I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. And that comes all the way up to us in 2016 today. So Christ is praying for his disciples, and he is praying for each and every one of us. In the first generation of Christians, all who believed in Christ did through did so through the witness of the apostles and the disciples, whether directly or indirectly, whether it was an actual one of the apostles or whether they taught someone else and then they went out and proclaimed the gospel. And that chain of believers continues to this day, our responsibility to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And to this day, Christ prays for all who believe, all of us who are saints. And when I say saint, I don't mean that we are so good or so better than anyone else, just that we have been cleansed by the blood and the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus prays, he prays for us. That should bring us, I think, some great comfort. Great Scottish preacher Robert McShane put it this way: if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Let us know that Christ is in the room with us in the throne room of glory when we petition God, our Father, with our prayers. Hebrews says that Christ is still interceding with the Father in our behalf. We read in chapter 4 of Hebrews, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith which we possess or profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." To me, that is incredible good news. When we bring our request to God, Christ is right there beside us, symbolically interceding in our behalf. Reverend Melvin Newland tells a powerful Mother's Day story that comes out of World War II and a horrific Holocaust, and I've been telling some stories about that lately because I don't think we should ever forget. It is a true story of Solomon Rosenberg and his family. Solomon and his wife and two sons, as well as Solomon's mother and father, were taken into one of the Nazi prison camps. It was a labor camp, and the rules were very simple. As long as you could do your day's work, you would live and come back the next day to work again. But when you could not do your day's work, you were taken and you were killed. Solomon watched his mother and father march off to their deaths, and he knew that his youngest son, David, might be next, because David had always been a very frail child, even from birth. Every evening he came back into the barracks after his hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, embrace one another, and then thank God for one more day of life. One day Rosenberg came back and he didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son Joshua in a corner, huddled up, just weeping, crying uncontrollably, and praying. He said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." And Josh turned to his dad and said, "Yes, Dad, it's true." Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him. So the father asked, "But where's your mother?" "Well, Dad, when they came for David, he was afraid, and he was crying." And Mama said, "There's nothing to be afraid of, Dave." And she took his hand, and she went off with him. It's a sad story of a mother's love for her little boy. Now transfer that image to yourself and Christ, with Christ in the role of the mother. Fearfully, you approach the throne of grace because you know that you're not all that you are meant to be. Even though you've been forgiven of your sins, you're still sinning, even as a Christian. You have no merit at all, really, to petition God for his love and mercy. But alongside you, there stands Jesus, I believe with his arms wrapped around you, saying that he forgives you, giving you confidence to pray to the Father. Jesus reassures us that when we come to God, as any child may come to a loving, caring parent, we can pray as God's children with confidence. In this passage, Jesus makes a specific request on our behalf. He prays for our unity. That is where we draw our strength. We are bound together with one another and with Him and through Him. Listen to these words again. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in I, and I am in you. Pastor and popular author David Jeremiah says that his church once built a ministry in what he called the triple chord prayer ministry. You take a piece of string, just an average piece, and you can snap it. But you take three pieces of string and wrap them together. Now you cannot snap it. It is stronger. It is a good, solid bond. Alone, I think we can be broken. But together as family, as friends, and as the church, that, I believe, is what keeps us from being broken. The pastor one evening was having dinner in a restaurant and happened to sit next to a young couple. He began to talk with them about how they felt about religion. They were deeply committed young couple. They loved the Lord very much, and they talked about their concern for the unity of the church and how in Jesus Christ we all have been made one. The woman reached into her purse and took out a card, and she said that it was a portrait of Jesus that illustrated the meaning of Christian unity. When you looked at it from a distance, it was just the one face. But when you brought it close or got out a magnifying glass, you could see 48 different faces in there, young and old, black and white, all different colors of the spectrum, male and female. There they were, all kinds of people. They were young and old, all kind of different. All kinds of human expressions were right there in that painting, all symbolic of being children of God. In praying for us, not only did Christ carry us in his heart before the Father, but he made some very special requests. The first of these is for our unity. A divided church in many ways is a scandalous affront to the uniting work that Christ did on the cross, giving us salvation, and that we are to be the body of Christ that he has called us to be, himself in a sense upon this earth, telling the message of what he has done. And that's why we're called the body of Christ. And that unity that he desires for his church is the same kind of unity that he has with the Father. The real church is a body of men and women united to each other because they are united in Christ. Our unity as a body of Christ is our primary witness to the world, to the truth of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. May they also be in us, Jesus prayed, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And we sing the song we sang it a couple of weeks ago. I started to call Mickey, but we just sang it. But you know, many of you know the song. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And then the chorus. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. The content of that little song comes directly from the prayer of Jesus. If we want to witness for Christ, the first thing we have to do is to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are his family. We are a family here at Glenshaw Valley. And Christ is the head of our family. On the night before he was crucified, Christ prayed for us. He prayed that we might be unified as his body. This is where we draw our strength during times of need, when life gets very, very difficult. And this is our best way of witnessing to the truth that Christ is alive, and Christ is alive and at work in the world today through us, through our love, through our witness, through our unity. May God bless you. And again, Happy Mother's Day.